Absolute Radio Country is filled with the best sounds from Nashville 24 hours a day. But even we can't fit in everything. You'll find a full story right here. This is Country Music Talk, the podcast that takes you behind the scenes of the world of country music.
We love bringing you the biggest names from the world of country music here on the podcast, so thank you for listening. Remember to subscribe if you haven't already, and that way you'll never miss an episode. And if you're in the UK, you can listen to Absolute Radio Country live and enjoy the No Repeat Guarantee. It's our promise to never play the same song twice during your workday between 9 to 5, Monday to Friday. Right, on with the podcast.
This is the Country Music Talk Podcast from Absolute Radio Country.
Fancy Haygood, as I live and breathe, here you are.
Hello,
hello. Hello. I'm excited to have you in because we've been a fan of your music here
Thank you. For ages
and we've just never met. You're no stranger to the UK, right?
No, not at all. I've been coming to the UK since 2015. A lot, actually. It's played a huge role in my creative process for like my first album, and one of my producers for the first album is from here. A lot of my friends are from here, so it's a really special place for me.
Why the UK? Why did it become such a special place for you?
Being from Nashville and being in country music, I joke that when I first got to Nashville, I was too queer for Nashville. Then when I went to LA, I was too Nashville for LA. So where the hell am I supposed to make music and it not be a question mark for people? I was actually kind of in a little bit of a rebuilding phase. I had just been dropped from pretty much every professional contract I'd entered into, not to brag, but that is...
Congratulations.
Thank you. And I was kind of entering into this independent world of trying to figure it out on my own, and I signed a publishing deal, and my publishers were actually really amazing and asked me what it was I wanted, and I told them I wanted time, space, and the ability to make a record without any sort of A&R person or industry person telling
pressure, me basically
what record that would be. And London's where we landed.
So. Wouldn't it be great when people ask you like, oh, what can I get for you? Time and space.
And money.
That's what I would like. It's good that you were able to ask for that though, and that you were at a point where you thought, yeah, I can ask for that. This is what I need. Is this coming off of the back of your kind of mainstream stuff that mm-hmm. you were doing? Because your music that you broke with or that yeah. kind of first brought you some notoriety and success, that wasn't kind country, right?
It wasn't, because if you look at the credits, it's all Nashville writers and producers,
right.
And Boys Like You, which ended up being a single with Ariana Grande and Meghan Trainor. I wrote that with Bob DiPiero, who's a Hall of Fame songwriter in Nashville, and you know, Jesse Frazier, who's become a huge producer in country music. He did my first single, Goodbye. So those were the first two songs that, yeah, put me on the map. But I was living in LA. I'd kind of been moved there because I got signed. I got everything I'd ever wanted, the record deal, the big manager, all this stuff, lights, camera, action, but I was just so unhappy.
Right.
All the time. You know, my original dream was I dropped out of high school when I was 16, moved to Nashville by the time I was 17. Like, I wanted to be a country artist. Like, country music was my passion. It's what I always wrote. So that's what I wanted to do. I think my queerness kind of intimidated people, kind of made them like, scratch their heads of like, how can you be queer and a country artist?
Oh yeah, because country was not ready at that point. And you know, yeah. arguably still not ready, but pretending to be.
You know, we're making a lot of changes in Nashville. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of diversity coming to the table. We have a long way to go. But yeah, in 2011, 2012, it was just not even a conversation. I remember when I got my first publishing deal, it was a real head scratcher for people to even like try to figure out what writing rooms to put me in.
Right.
So, you know, then in 2015, when I'm releasing these songs, it was kind of like, you know, Sam Smith was just kind of popping off. And so when the queer conversation, it was like, well, where can you be successful? It's not here, so you should go to LA.
Right.
So that was kind of what happened. But, you know, my joke is...
Were you
is,
kind of a bit like, well, this sucks, or yeah, this makes sense?
You know, it's all exciting. When, like, when you're in it and it's like, oh... they're offering you a record deal or this person wants to be your manager and all this stuff. It feels exciting. It wasn't until I was like in the thick of it and having these like bucket list moments happen for me, like being on The Tonight Show, touring with Ariana, having all these milestone moments in my career and just realizing I wasn't happy. It's because I wasn't being myself. And there's a lot of stuff about that era that was just kind of messed up. Like, you know, I was climbing the top 40 charts in America, but no one knew who I was. I was hidden.
Right.
And, you know, there's reasons for that, I guess. Marketing, whatever. But I think there's a lot of other reasons for it as well. I think people really did not think that someone like me could be in the spotlight and be successful.
Well, people never think it can be, you know, someone like you or someone like whatever that's outside of kind of the box that everybody likes to create until it happens.
Right.
And then suddenly they're like, oh my God, we need more of that.
Yeah. I had a manager one time. I was like looking for a manager. And this guy told me, like, we're like talking and we're sitting across from each other at like a lunch. And he's like, managing someone like you would be so hard. Like, he told me this while he's, like, trying to, like, actively sign me. And I literally was thinking to myself, I was like, I wonder if anyone ever told Madonna that, or if anyone ever told Dolly Parton that, or if anyone ever told Elvis Presley that. Because I can't imagine any of those, like, innovative artists would be easy to manage.
Oh, yeah. I bet you they're all quite difficult to manage.
Of course.
I mean, that's an artist, right? Like, mm-hmm. somebody who's creative and who has their own ideas and who isn't afraid of expressing them.
Or anyone who's sure of themselves.
Yeah. Yeah, so are you sure of yourself now?
Oh, 100%.
Excellent.
You know, I think earlier in my career when I was younger, I wanted it so badly, and I say I was thirsty for it, and I'm no longer thirsty for it. I'm hungry for it, and right. there's a big difference between thirst and hunger.
Yeah, and you went back to Nashville and then kind of set about, you know, whether by design or happenstance, finding your chosen family in some mm-hmm. sort of way. Like, I've seen, you know, whether it's Brothers Osborne or Casey, or there's loads of people that kind of all on the surface maybe don't have the same sensibility. Like, from a public perspective, you might go, but actually scratch it a little bit and you can see why you guys became friends. And did you know these guys? Was this your crew before you moved to LA, or this was your crew when you came back?
Brothers Osborne, their sister Natalie is my platonic life partner, my manager. She's in the corner over here.
Hey, Natalie.
She is. We've all been friends since, like, what, 2012? I mean, yeah, so before anything ever really happened for me in my career, these people have been in my life. And then, you know, they've seen me at my absolute best. And, like, you know, when I first performed at Bridgestone Arena opening for Ariana Grande, they were all there. You know, I've seen them at their best. We've all seen each other at our worst, too. Mm. So it's become, like, a family. And, you know, I think what we have is time. Like, we just have a lot of years under our belt of closeness, and it's really been so meaningful to me. A lot of people are like, how can you be friends with everyone that does what you do? And, like, especially when it's like we're all in, like, different levels of our careers, it can be hard. But I feel like it's really nice, actually, because there's people that know my struggle. They know exactly what I've been through and where I'm going. I'm working on a new album. John Osborne from Brothers Osborne is helping produce. It's like, it's a family effort, and it feels really positive. I jokingly, my Real Housewife tagline is, you are who your friends are, and my friends are stars.
Well, what's really nice about that is kind of, and whether, you know, whether you're in the industry that you're in or whatever world one lives in, to have those people that have known them for a long time who haven't just met after they become famous or successful or you become successful. It's a real kind of grounding thing, I mm-hmm. think. And I think it's so important. And it's something that a lot of people don't have, regardless of what they do in their lives. So it's a really kind of special, lovely thing.
Yeah, it's very unique. It's not, you know, you don't see it in every direction.
No.
I think Nashville in general is pretty good about not being a competitive city, especially after spending time in Los Angeles. You can be close to people in LA, but there is an air of everyone's trying to make it happen for themselves.
Oh, absolutely.
It does feel like a more community-driven effort in Nashville.
Yeah.
And I'm not even just talking about my friend group. I'm talking about Nashville as a whole. It does feel like a supportive place. Like, I do think everyone wants everyone to win there, which I think is also unique and what makes Nashville so special. And what makes country music special is because it is like this family-based kind of, like, we're all in it, grinding, doing our best, and it's just like we're all supporting each other. It's really nice. And, like, no matter what level you're at your career, you're kind of all going through similar things of some sort. So it's nice to have, like, these conversations where it's like, oh, okay, I'm not crazy, you know?
And also, I think Nashville is so collaborative in general, you
totally.
Know, whether that's just songwriting rooms or, you know, session musicians or whatever. Like, it is a collaborative town, mm-hmm. whereas LA maybe isn't in that way, New York, etc. Nashville, you need to work together to find something great. And whoever that's for, then great, we're all involved with this. And so I think that kind of lends to it being, because everybody, a lot of artists that come through talk about community, and mm-hmm. I certainly feel it every time I'm in Nashville. I feel it in East Nashville more than I do on like a music road type situation.
Totally.
But because that just feels like a real community.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's East Nashville is like a creative hub. There's, you know, it's where me and all my friends go out. It's where we spend the most time. We all live in East Nashville. It's just kind of, that is kind of the more creative part of town, it feels like.
Yeah, somebody, a friend was going recently and they were saying, oh, you know, and they were gay and they said, oh, is it going to be weird in Nashville? And I was like, East Nashville, I swear I see more pride flags in East Nashville than I see in London.
Right.
Like, it just seems like such a kind of diverse, open community.
I think it's easy, especially globally, to hear what's happening in America with legislation for LGBTQIA+
people.
And
in Tennessee specifically.
It's easy to look at and be like, wow, that seems so crazy. I don't want to go there. I live there, and I just bought a house there. It's like, I feel like right now is like the most important time to like plant my roots and say, I'm here, I'm queer, I'm not going anywhere. And I feel like that's the attitude in Nashville queer community in general.
Mm-hmm.
It just feels like there is this wave of change. And I feel like all of that oppression that's happening is a last hurrah of a group of people who are seeing so many people living their authentic, true life and trying to be like, you can't do this. And it's like, I just think there's so much more love and so much more acceptance in Nashville as a whole than there is the other stuff.
Yeah, and I think that's not just true about Nashville or major cities.
Mm-hmm.
I was just in Tennessee. I'm originally from Tennessee, so my whole family is in East Tennessee.
Oh, yeah.
Bristol.
Nice.
And so I was just there visiting my family, and you're right, because every time before I go, whether it's Nashville or LA or New York or tiny little towns, I'm always a bit like, oh, America, and is this going to feel, you know, like just... What am I getting myself in for? And what I realize every time that I go, even in the places that you don't assume are liberal or that aren't liberal, there are people fighting the good fight. Mm-hmm. There. And there are people living their lives, people that are far braver than I am, who are still there, like doing what they do, regardless of all the stuff around them. And that's really quite heartening, especially with kind of where America and the world finds itself.
And it's absolutely scary to think about, but I think the truth of the matter is, when you get off social media, when you stop looking at headlines, when you stop looking at what people are feeding us for ratings and for clicks, and you start talking to people and having conversations, I think at the end of the day, most times, more than not, people support people. And when you can humanize someone and sit across from them and have actual conversation.
It's hard to hate someone to their face.
100%.
People do it, but it's hard to hate someone to their face.
100%. And I think that's what's really cool about being in Nashville, being on Music Row, being a queer country artist, is change is happening. And it might be slow. It's ever evolving, but it is happening. And even like in 2011, when I first came on the scene, this felt so far away. The dream felt so far away. And now, you know, that's what's been awesome. We talk about my friends, John and TJ, Casey, Lucy Silvis, all these people.
Oh, we love Lucy.
I stand the queen, Lucy Silvis.
Yes.
But the thing is like all these friends of mine who have achieved success have just made it seem even more possible to an artist like me, to someone who at one time thought this feels unachievable. And now, because I've seen so much of it happen for people like me, I know that it's possible for me as well. And I hope through me achieving the success I want to achieve, other people can come to Nashville or whatever, wherever their Nashville is, they can go there and know that they can too be successful and achieve any dream they want to. And that's the goal. And I think with like all of these, it's like a tense time, right? Like you said, it's like...
It's a tense time.
It's a little bit scary. But the truth is people support people. And that's that. And that's what I'm hoping through like this music we're about to start putting out and all this stuff, is that it humanizes the queer experience for people in country music, and it's not this polarizing thing, you know?
Because it's also, is it good? That's the question, right? Like,
it's
that
wonderful.
Should always be the question. Is like, is it good?
Okay. It's great.
You know, yeah, yours obviously. But you know, people get caught up in like, does this, what does this mean? And what does this say about the direction? And is this country? And actually the question is it good music? Great, we like it. Let's talk about the music. Just getting to know each other. Fancy Haygood here on Absolute Radio Country. Southern Sound, the single, which is this from the debut album, the debut country album.
Yeah, it's
Southern
the first
Curiosity.
Single. Yes.
Is this where Elton John kind of started loving on you? Because he's a big fan, isn't he?
I feel crazy saying yes to that, but I think he
well, is. I'm asking.
Yeah, I think, yeah, he's been super supportive. You know, Elton John is like obviously larger than life, supernova entertainer that we've all heard about our whole entire life.
Yeah.
So the fact that he's shining any amount of light in my corner of the world feels so crazy to me. I'm so appreciative of it. And then being a guest on his show where we're like, I'm like awake at like 4:30 in the morning, like nervously sitting in front of my phone while like all of a sudden like Elton John just pops up. It's like, what is happening? And he still continues to just support and like speak positivity into my life and career. And it's just like really honestly crazy. I can't, it feels unreal.
This journey that you've been talking about, being comfortable in who you are and being loud and proud about it, I mean, he's been doing that for literally decades.
Decades, I know.
Decades. So it's kind of like a pay it forward. I mean, I know that's such a cliche, the pay it forward thing, but it is kind of like a pay it forward thing. And let's say, whether you're Elton John or whether you're you or whether you're somebody, you know, who isn't even started on that artistic and creative journey yet, just pay it forward. That's really what it's all about.
Do you want to hear a crazy story?
No. Yeah, of course I do.
Legit, Elton and his team were really kind to invite me and my partner to Elton's last Nashville show. We went, I got to meet Elton for a bit. So we go to this show. Beforehand, they're like, Elton wants to say hi. I get like this like 10-minute window with Elton. And then we're like in the show. We're like halfway through his set. I'm like living my greatest life. We're like on the floor. It's me and my partner. And Elton just starts giving the speech. And he's like talking about like the people that inspire him and that Nashville and Memphis and Tennessee in general is like a really inspiring musical place. And he's always admired it. And he's like, and tonight I have friends here that inspire me. Sheryl Crow's here. T-Bone Burnett's here. Vice President Al Gore is here. And the fabulous Fancy Haygood. I literally levitated. I was 100 feet in the air at Nissan Stadium in Nashville. I couldn't believe it. And to me, that was a moment. I needed that because I'm a queer independent artist in Nashville. And it's hard enough. But having your absolute idol, like, kind of say that to this massive crowd, yeah. I was like, I'm on the right path.
You're doing okay. Yeah. Fancy Haygood is doing okay. That is the title. If we were writing this, that would be the title. Let's talk about upcoming music. So, more music on the way?
Yes. We're working on my second album, my sophomore album. We just cut, like, some of the first songs. Southern Sound's already out in the world.
Yes.
Which I think is a really beautiful preview as to what's to come. I've been writing with some of my favorite people in Nashville, and like I said, John Osborne just cut the first two tracks for it, and yeah, it's just super exciting. It's the original dream, that's what I'm telling people. I moved to Nashville to make a country album, was quickly told, you don't fit here. I pivoted, I make my way to LA, I do all this stuff, I find success, I leave it all behind, I come back, I put out my first album and I had no idea where it would land, who would be listening, and it got playlisted all over country, which shocked me. Mm. But it was, again, it's just another moment of like, you're on the right path. And so I feel like we're having this return for myself where it's like, I'm in Nashville, I'm surrounded by so many incredible people. I'm finally able to live out my original Nashville dream when I was 17 years old that I had.
And was playing the Opry part of the dream? Because you've done that too.
Yeah, that was definitely all of these things that you feel like when you're 17 years old living in Nashville and learning about the history of country music and the Reverence and all these places like the Ryman and the Opry, all these places that I've been really lucky enough to be accepted at and to play at. It's just kind of mind-blowing. And I think this album is kind of a tribute to all of those moments saying, yes, I did move here to be a country artist. I did have to pivot, but I'm back. I am fully myself. I'm 100% in on this Nashville dream, and I'm not giving up on it.
Fancy Haygood, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you so much.
The Country Music Talk Podcast from Absolute Radio Country.
An in-depth look behind the scenes at the world of country music.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. We'll have another dropping soon for y'all, so don't forget to keep it country.
If you enjoy the Country Music Talk podcast, chances are you'll also enjoy Absolute Radio Country. It's the place where real music matters, and we love country music just as much as you do. You'll find us online on the free Absolute Radio app, on digital radio throughout the UK, or just ask your smart speaker to play Absolute Radio Country.